Here at Take That Radio, we've been busy.
First we'll make snow angels for 2 hours, and then we'll go ice skating.
Making sure the world is right.
And then we'll eat a whole roll of Toll House cookie dough.
One show at a time.
And then we'll snuggle.
Happy holidays from all of us at Take That Radio. Coming up next on the Take That Radio Network.
And now a reading from Wendy Sullivan's Bible. And lo, the angel of the Lord came to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, blah, 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 Jesus, Bethlehem, shake a leg, boys.
Don't touch that dial. You're locked on Take That Radio. Welcome to Right This Way, the weekly wrap-up show starring the hosts of Take That Radio. It's fun. It's enlightening. Looking for a common-sense point of view in this topsy-turvy world we live in? You found it, and the fun begins right this way.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Right This Way, the Christmas edition. I am Wendy Sullivan from Brass Balls Radio. With me is my co-host, Kimberly Haney. Hey, Kim.
Hey, Wendy, how you doing? Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you. We've also got Jimmy Bice from The Delivery. Hey, Jimmy.
Hi, Wendy.
And we've got Dwayne Lester from All American Radio. Hey, Dwayne, and happy birthday. We are recording on your big 4-0. Lordy, lordy, look who's 40.
That's right. I'm going to try and stay with you, but I've been putting Southern Comfort in my coffee all day.
Good for you. I myself, Christmas here in my household since I was a child, like way too young, has always tasted like Crown Royal. And that tradition carries on this evening. So you and I may be out before the end of the show, leaving it in the capable hands of Jimmy and Kim to carry on. So before we get into the whole Christmas thing, we've had some interesting things happen this week. Kim Jong-il died, that cochon from North Korea. Jimmy, were you saying off air that who gave the condolence for Kim Jong-il?
That would be our president and national disgrace, Jimmy Carter.
Ugh, put on a sweater.
What I said is I'm surprised that Carter didn't volunteer to be his son's name is Kim Jong-un, which I noted on Twitter sounds like something James Brown would grunt just before he asked Maceo Parker to hit him 2 times.
has anybody seen that kid? He looks like a child molester.
He looks like he's about 14.
Dad. Yeah, he looks like a 14-year-old child molester, the kind that abuses cats.
He's 21, so North Korea, the poorest and potentially most dangerous nation in the world, is being run by a 20-something hipster whose father is a mass murderer and whose grandfather was a mass murderer. So that's going to go well.
The news is that they'll be sharing power, that there will be now a collective leadership with him and his uncle. I don't know what his name is, probably Fester or something, you know, something like that, and the military. They're all three going to enjoy leadership over this this vast socialist paradise.
Great. And the ghost of Hitler and evil Lincoln and that the mean reindeer that Santa wouldn't take out in a sleigh.
And really, just to round things out, we can only hope that that's where Hugo Chavez is getting his cancer treatment. I just thought I'd throw that out there.
Oh, nicely done.
I desperately hope that the South Park guys are right now frantically making a sequel to Team America World Police.
I love that movie. I love the South Park guys because all of their movies and all of their great shows and stuff like that all involve, in some way, the foresight to kill off an evil dictator. One way or another. I mean, how many years were we watching Saddam have butt sex with Satan before he actually ended up having butt sex with Satan in reality? I mean, those South Park guys, I want to make them the oracle of South Park. They're brilliant. What else has been going on in the news? I mean, aside from Christmas and the war on... Kim, you were at Kmart today. which, you know, I laughed at you because friends don't let friends go to Kmart.
Everybody laughed at me.
Can anything be more bargain basement than Walmart? Why, yes. Yes, it can.
Kmart. But seriously, I was looking for a particular gift. And we looked it up online. My son's girlfriend called me in a frantic. They were looking for the present for my daughter's boyfriend. And they wanted a particular gift that went with what my daughter was getting him for Christmas. So who do they call? Me. Because, you know, they're like, okay, if anybody can find it, Kim can find it, right? So I jump online and I'm like, okay, they have it at Amazon. That's not going to help us because we got to have it like now.
Yeah.
And so I looked it up on Google, of course, and it said, you know, Kmart. And I went, okay, there's a Kmart in the town that they live in, and there's, weirdly enough, a Kmart in the town I live in. So I just said, you know, all right, look, I'll run down there. I got to go into town anyway.
Kimberly, I'm sure there's a crack house in the town they live in, and I'm sure there's a crack house in the town you live in, too. It doesn't mean you go there.
But they were the only place that had this particular item that we can get. So
you're too well dressed for Kmart.
Sucked me in. It did. And I found all kinds of little stocking stuffers and doodads and shipping document things.
But here's the thing though, Kmart, in the past 10 days, some good Samaritans around the country have gone into the places like Kmart and Walmart, where us poor people have been known to purchase our Christmas presents, and paid off layaway bills. Now, has anybody heard of this in their towns? Or yes. Is it all in places we've never heard of before?
It started in Nebraska.
Is that what it was?
Yeah, and as far as I can tell, I just saw this zip by on Twitter, but it was in my All Friends column. But the last I heard was that they think it might be a record that the Secret Santa paid off $21,000 yesterday in layaways. I just saw it, but I can't put my eyeballs on it quick enough.
Now, I was saying off air there was a situation, I think it was in Jersey, and I'm sure someone will Twitter me to correct me if I'm wrong, but Walmart had a Secret Santa go in and say, I'd like to put $300 towards layaway charges. And the manager was like, we can't do that. And threw them out, which of course became a big news story because there's no reason why you can't. So Walmart corporate HQ, which is, I think, down in what, Texas or Oklahoma or something like that. I can't remember.
It's Arkansas.
Is it Arkansas?
Who doesn't know where Walmart is?
Where the Waltons
started.
Are from.
Canadians, Wendy, that's why.
Obviously.
Canadians, I'm sorry. I could tell you where Wayne Gretzky's dad lives. It's about 90 minutes outside the city, but I can't tell you where the Walton family is from. But in any case, so Arkansas, Walmart HQ calls up and says, wait a minute. Not only do we encourage this, but if you can get them to come back, we'll match it. So I mean, I applaud Walmart for that because this is another tight Christmas. The economy crashed in 2008 and people have been struggling to recover. So I really think that the little acts of kindness like this are going to be what gets a lot of families through. Now, at the same time, last night after Jimmy recorded the delivery, I pulled up Charlie Brown Christmas special on my netbook because I needed Linus to remind me what the true meaning of Christmas is. And we all do it every year. It's a thing. But this crass commercialism, like, it's gotten to the point now where kids don't even have homemade toys anymore. They have iPhones. With the exception, and I'd like to point this out for everyone, Dwayne's kids.
I was about to jump in there and say, hold the phone, lady.
Who you calling, lady boy?
My kids. My See, that's what's great about my family is that we've prioritized where our income goes, and we've decided that cable television is not a priority. So we don't have kids bouncing around in the living room watching Nicktoons telling us that every commercial they see is something they have to have. So when right. we give them something like a my dad made a it was awesome. I should put a picture of this on the blog. He made a semi truck out of wood, and I'll bet you this truck, I'll bet you there are 30 different pieces that are on this truck. And he'll give that to my son, my 2-year-old, and he'll go nuts with it. And it's almost indestructible. I've seen these things. I've got generations of, you know, 6 kids here who have yet to break some of these toys.
That's what I was going to say. They're indestructible. They're like the Tonka toys used to be when we were kids.
Right, right. Now, I got to go back, and I can't be the only one that's sitting here listening to this Kmart story wondering, what the heck do you buy that only Kmart and Amazon has?
It's true, Kim. What on earth did you buy?
It was a travel case for a PS2 game set for a 34-year-old man.
Okay, Linus would not approve of this because
seriously.
Linus would remind us that shepherds were watching their flocks by night, okay? And blah, 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 Jesus. But no, we've got a 34-year-old man who plays with a PlayStation.
Stand by. Hang on.
Jimmy,
first,
would you chime in here?
Yeah, let me help out. First, Wendy, what translation of the Bible do you have? Because I'm pretty well versed, and I don't recall the part of Luke chapter 2 which goes blah 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 Jesus.
Jesus, I read the Catholic Bible, Jimmy.
Number two, if there are any good Samaritans out there, if there are any good Samaritans out there looking to pay off someone's layaway, I have a tip jar on my blog, and I could be persuaded to put that money toward a MacBook so I could do more bloggy, computy stuff. I'm just saying, you know, if there's a Christmas spirit and a grand laying around somewhere, I'll either get a MacBook or I'll build a giant bunk bed. One or the other. One of those two things will certainly happen.
Not to play the who's poorer than who game, but my lovely co-host and Southern Belle, Kimberly Haney, said to me, Wendy, you have to come down to CPAC. We'll pay your way. You have to come down. At which point I pointed out, but Kim, darling, I hit the food bank once a month. If you want to spend a grand on me, buy my food. Jimmy, I have to say the same thing. It's time to prioritize a little bit. We're not talking layaway so that a blogger can have a shinier MacBook. We're talking layaway so some mom on welfare, her kids can have toys that they wouldn't otherwise normally have because she'd be spending all of her money on cigarettes and scratch tickets. Everybody,
oh, I understand. I understand, but you know, I'm not going to blow my cash on cigarettes and scratch tickets. And of course, as you heard when you listened to the show last night, I mean, I grew up in a big family with one wage earner. I'm kind of with Dwayne. I'm kind of with you guys on this. Though I'm older, I don't mind if I can pull it off. Don't mind buying myself some treats. But when I came up, you know, I was the kid that would look through the Sears and Montgomery Ward and the JCPenney catalog and dog ear the pages, knowing that I wasn't gonna get this stuff.
It's true. I mean, we all did that, though.
Yeah,
didn't
there's
we?
No way. There was no way in the world that my dad was gonna pay, you know, $40, which was a really big sum of money for a cool toy when he could buy, you know, 4 things for that.
For the same price,
And spread it around to brothers. I just knew there was no way it was going to happen. On the other hand, I never did go without. And there was always something there. And it was rarely ever my dreams, the thing I dreamed about all year. I mean, it was always pretty cool.
Now Kim and I are only children. So you're an only child, right, Kim? I'm not mistaken on that.
I was raised as an only child.
Yeah.
Okay. I've got some steps in there, but I was raised by my grandparents as an only child.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. So we were possibly a little more spoiled as kids. I mean, my parents weren't super rich, but what they had came to me. So there was a little bit more room for stuff underneath the tree. But Jimmy, you come from a big family. Dwayne, are you carrying on a tradition? Was there a whack of you when you were
a kid? No, I just had my younger brother when I grew up, but I got two older steps, but they were gone by the time, you know, they graduated in like 79. I was like 8 when they were out of the house.
So what did you do when you were a kid at Christmas that's being carried over now, Dwayne?
You know,
I mean, other than the cool toys your dad's making.
My dad never made toys for me. We always got, you know, the store-bought stuff. Well, I'll tell you, our family, my family is so wildly different than the family that, you know, that I had growing up. We're just, I got to tell you, my family, my mom and dad are both Democrats. They're both, so they don't share. I'm not going to say they don't share the same values, but the things that we value weren't the things that we valued when I was a kid growing up. So our family, we're starting all new traditions. You know, when we can, we'll find a tree farm and go cut down our own tree rather than picking one out. I think this year we're going to have to pick one out just because the way my work schedule's been, we haven't had a chance.
Yeah, you're kind of running out of time.
Right. So we don't even have a tree. Some years, you know, we'll just have a little tree and we'll put it on the table, but we don't put as much emphasis on the you know what you were saying, the commercialized things. We focus on the story, why we're doing what we're doing. We don't put as much emphasis on trees. We put emphasis on Jesus.
The Catholic Bible as it states blah 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 Jesus,
right.
Which of course Jimmy doesn't recognize. You know, I was thinking of that last night and I put it up on Facebook. When exactly did gold, frankincense, and myrrh get replaced by, you know, Terry's chocolate oranges and sugar cookies and butter tarts? Because when did this become
frankincense and myrrh?
When did this become the holiday of unrefined carbohydrates? Because I don't think there were a lot of carbs running around the desert back then.
No, it's been like that for, I mean, Christmas in the United States, Wendy, is an amalgam of Christmases from all over the place. I mean, Santa Claus is
German
and Dutch.
Sinterklaas.
And thank goodness we don't carry on the Dutch tradition of his companion, Black Peter, because holy cow, would people hate that.
Isn't he the one that stole the bad children or something?
Yeah, he was Santa Claus's kind of quote unquote assistant, who the good kids get toys and the bad kids Black Peter puts into a sack and takes to Spain, and in the Netherlands they actually have festivals where men dress up like Sinterklaas, like, you know,
Santa.
The European Santa Claus that we know, and the other ones dress up like Black Peter, which means they're running around looking like elves in blackface.
Now, is that where Chitty Chitty Bang Bang got the idea for the child catcher from?
I don't know, but he's a lot like it, except the child catcher was white. But I mean, the festivals, I mean, the stuff we do around Christmas, the sweets and the nuts and all that stuff, comes from Europe and England and Ireland, and it comes from all over the place, but mostly comes from Europe. My dad, for example, grew up in West Virginia, and one of the traditions he has that he carries on with us is every Christmas, we get a tangerine.
Mm-hmm.
We've always gotten, even as adults, we've always gotten a tangerine from our dad for Christmas. It's not Christmas unless my dad gives me a tangerine. It's not.
Right, because that's a European thing, isn't it?
Yeah, and a lot of Europeans, where my dad grew up in West Virginia, in coal mining area, a lot of Europeans lived in, or kind of resettled, and a lot of Appalachians carried on European and Irish traditions.
The idea being that citrus fruit, of course, is quite rare over there. I mean, having lived over there, it's cold, it's rainy 300 days a year. Mm-hmm. So you're not going to grow a lot of oranges and lemons and stuff like that over there, which is why, you know, for example, scurvy was a thing. But it's actually a sign of wealth to give someone a tangerine. We don't think anything of it now. I mean, this season is when we go to the grocery store and we buy 5 or 6 pounds of those Moroccan clementines that we're all so fond of at this time of the year. But back then it was a sign of wealth and prosperity to be able to give each of your children a citrus fruit.
Yeah, but I wonder if they had to be shipped in. I mean, they had to be shipped in from a warm place that grew citrus, and then that had to be carted to where you were.
That's right.
It was labor and travel intensive, and it had to happen quickly, or they'd go bad.
Mm-hmm. See, I wonder if that has anything to do with why 4-H and the FFA do all their fruit sales in the fall, and then you get them all towards winter. Because I remember growing up just having boxes of oranges that my parents had bought from the FFA kids. And that they were just in the house. So I wonder, I don't know. I'm just throwing that out there. I wonder if there's any correlation.
Well, for us here in the Americas, it's easy for us to get our hands on citrus fruit because the entire southern United States can grow it.
Mm-hmm.
But for...
In California,
you know, Florida and all those places, they can grow it. I couldn't. Let's say we were still in the 1800s. I would have to be a rich kid. Or at least some kind of well-off kid in order to get a Florida orange on my table. I mean, now it's not a big deal, of course, but, you know, if this was 200 or 300 years ago, it would be a very big deal to get a Florida orange to Toronto.
Wendy, I'll tell you one of my family's Christmas traditions. If you can figure it out, you're better than I am, and it's my family, and I still don't know where it came from. Christmas dinner, and I carried on. And by the way, let me just say, Dwayne, I think it's really cool what you're doing, instituting family traditions for Christmas with your family, because I think traditions are really, really important.
They are.
Traditions are the things that tie the current generation and the next generation to all the generations past. Right. It gives us a line of history, a line of lineage that we can follow back and remember where we came from. And one of the horrible things we're doing in this country is we're throwing out traditions just because we think it's old and busted. It's not old and busted. It means something. Mm-hmm. It's important. My tradition, my family's tradition, our Christmas dinner for as long as I can remember with my grandmother was fried chicken and potato salad and deviled eggs.
Wow.
Okay.
No ham, no turkey, fried chicken, potato salad, deviled eggs, a summer
you
picnic.
You had barbecue food.
No, yes, we had. Honest to God, my mom, and my grandmother would hook up an electric skillet, which is one of the best cooking things in the world, electric skillet, and they would fry chicken about early afternoon. They would fry chicken. My grandmother would make her potato salad, and we'd have fried chicken and potato salad and deviled eggs and, like, veggies and dip. And little.
Did you have the Leonard Skinner Christmas album in the background, too?
No, though somehow my grandmother was really collected. She had an eclectic collection of music, and my grandmother actually had, I believe, she had, like, you remember the big truckin' phase? Red Sovine and C.W. McCall and all the truckin' music.
I got a big old convoy and all that stuff.
Right. Somehow she got some sort of Christmas album that had truckin' Christmas songs. And that would show.
Funny.
Rock on.
Was your grandmother a reformed lot lizard or something? Good heavens, Jimmy.
No, my grandmother's album collection had everything from Tom Jones and Paul Anka to the Longines Symphony to trucking 8-track tapes to Red Fox comedy albums.
Oh, I love it. That's hilarious.
Nice.
My grandmother, first heard Red Fox comedy routines with my grandmother's album. She had a copy of the Glenn Miller Story, the original soundtrack to the movie, Unbreakable. Yeah, and Harry Morgan, who just recently passed away.
Yes, yes.
A supposedly unbreakable album, which I swear to God was an eighth of an inch thick. This was my grandmother's collection. So yeah, we'd pull out the Christmas music, and somehow there was like trucking Christmas music. I don't know where it came from.
Man, can you imagine? Put the Christmas music on. Jimmy puts the Red Fox album on.
Yeah.
How funny.
Way to mess with the kids in the house.
Oh, man. That would not have been good. It would not have been good.
Family is deeply, deeply dysfunctional when it comes to Christmas. No doubt.
By the way, for those of you listening who don't know Red Fox by more than he was Fred Sanford and Sanford and Son and thought he was just a nice old man who did sitcoms.
No, he was more than that.
Ooh, Red Fox was raunchy.
One of the dirtiest, bluest working comedians I have ever, worse than someone like Pigmeat Markham. He was one of the pioneers. He influenced Richard Pryor. And Richard Pryor said that Red Fox worked dirtier than him.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was Christmas at the old Bice family's homestead. That's
yeah.
Right.
My dad reading the Christmas story from Luke 2 over our house, and then us unwrapping our gifts and all piling in the station wagon, go to our grandmother's for the big family get together and having fried chicken and a potato salad. So and every Christmas I have fried chicken potato salad.
Well, you know what? It's a tradition. Doesn't matter if it's weird. It's a tradition. It is what it is. And
yeah.
If you want to keep it going, then you should. You absolutely should. We're going to take a break in a second, but when we come back, I want to hear a little bit more. I mean, Kim, you were raised by your grandparents. You were raised in what?
Yes.
Lake of the Ozarks region, right?
Correct.
So, I mean, that's...
We had traditions.
Prairie Christmas.
So I'll share them when we get back.
About that. We'll be back right after this.
I'm Randy Travis. Before the appearance of Red, people didn't think twice about drinking and driving. Well, all that has changed now. More and more people are getting hip to the fact that friends don't let friends drink and drive. Choose a designated driver and have a safe and happy holiday season.
You've never seen an angel.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
So, you know, I'm a dog, and I'm kind of new to this family, but I've noticed a trend. My humans do this thing where they go around and get all my toys and hide them in this basket, but it's always the same basket, and it's always the same place, and then they act so surprised when I find them, but I'm like, hello, that's where you put it last time. Humans are the worst at hide-and-go-seek.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and theshelterpetproject.org.
They call it right this way, because the other way is, well, just wrong.
Back, and we were actually just going to speak to Kimberly Haney about what her childhood was like growing up in Lake of the Ozarks. What was a typical Christmas in your house, Kim?
A typical Christmas at my house, because I was raised by my maternal grandparents as an only child from the time I was about 9 years old. We moved to the Lake of the Ozarks when I was about 13 or so. So, you know, kind of a lonely existence. We lived, you know, on, you know, the lake road. So my uncle and his two children, my cousins, would always come down, usually the day before Christmas Eve. And then, you know, we'd go horseback riding, spend that whole day out, just, you know, even through the snow. It was just always fun. It was a day that we spent together with my uncle. And on Christmas Eve, we were allowed to open one present, and it was always pajamas. So, you know, it was like a, you know, we did that every year. Every year it'd be new pajamas, and you'd wear those pajamas to bed. And then, you know, they'd take pictures around the Christmas tree
the next
morning. And then you'd get to open your Christmas presents the next morning. And then my grandmother would always cook, you know, she'd cook turkey and dressing. And it was almost like Thanksgiving round two, you know. It's the same thing. Sometimes we'd have ham, but most of the time it was, you know, turkey and dressing and bread pudding and that kind of stuff all over again. We did always have an orange, a tangerine in our stocking. That was, I don't know if that's just, you know, a tradition from that generation, Jimmy, but we also got an orange. And it was a tangerine because they always had little seeds in it, and that annoyed me. But it's funny how those, I mean, it just did.
My Christmas present annoyed me.
It did. But like Dwayne, when I, you know, got older and got married, I made my own traditions, but the pajamas stuck. And, you know, Christmas Eve night, it'll be me and Jim and Brandon, and we'll open one present, and it'll be pajamas. And we'll wear him to bed that night, and then we'll get up.
Take pictures the next morning.
Christmas snuggies for everyone.
You know, I think I'm gonna go get some citrus fruit. I think that's a great tradition to start. I think we'll do that.
It is.
You know, in my house,
the only thing that I go ahead.
Oh, well, no, go ahead. Kim, finish up.
The last thing I was going to say. Oh, okay. You're still talking about the oranges. We'll talk about the oranges, and then I'll talk about the one thing that I did that was a little bit different for my kids at Christmas. So,
well, I was going to say that instead of giving them as a gift, my mother, this is also fairly European, but from certainly more flush economic times, taking the little tangerine and putting the cloves in it and hanging it from the tree. And it literally,
oh yeah,
whole room smells of orange and cloves. And it's like a sachet. And it eventually dries to the point where all it is just potpourri. It's fantastic. And it really, you know, it adds a certain Christmas smell. You know, Christmas has a smell, you know, between the trees and the spices and the cooking and stuff like that. It's a very Christmassy smell to me, the cloves and the oranges. But anyway, yeah, carry on. Carry on. What did you carry?
Well, what I was going to say, that is interesting that you say that, because my grandmother would do the same thing, but she would put it in hot apple cider and orange juice and pineapple juice.
Oh, to
and
make
we would like drink a, that a, as a hot toddy, like wassail. Yeah.
Like wassail. Yeah, exactly. I just got an excellent wassail recipe. As a matter of fact, I may post that up on the blog, but yeah, I just got an excellent recipe. Here we go. Wassail.
My wife will take go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, when I was a kid, I always misheard that song. And I used to wonder, I never asked anybody because I knew they would think I was stupid, but
waffle.
I always asked. Yeah. I wanted to know why everybody was going out waffling.
And that was before.
Like, how do you do that outside? Here we go, a waffling? No, you stay inside where the waffle iron is. Why would you go out to go waffle? And I didn't know what waffles had to do with Christmas or that good King Worcestershire or whatever it is. What's this one? Maybe they ate them at the Feast of Stephen or something, but I could never figure it out. And then I got older and was thankful I never asked anybody. Or
Stephen. Okay, here's a piece of Christmas childhood trivia. Who didn't realize until, say, 2 years ago, not pointing at myself, that the Santa Claus that Mommy was kissing was actually Daddy? I saw Mommy kissing Santa Claus. Who? How long
did you figure out that
was Daddy? Because I've talked to a bunch of people recently that only just figured out, wait a minute, that was Daddy, wasn't it?
So what did you think? That was a Merry Christmas song about a kid discovering his mom was having an affair with Santa Claus?
Well, I grew up in the suburbs, so everybody's mom was having an affair. Aside from that, I mean, Santa Claus shows up in your house, who wouldn't kiss him, right? You got to get a pass with Santa.
Apparently somebody's tramp mom would.
Yeah.
Okay, so apparently me and my friends are the only ones with slut mom. We totally thought that there was Santa in the house, and how exciting when we heard this song. I mean, I remember singing it in second grade up on stage, but none of us really realized that. Yeah, okay, so we were dumb. Sorry, public school.
The good news is that generations, you know, in the future will not have to worry about that confusion because they are not allowed to sing such things in school anymore.
I was actually shocked today. I was out shopping and I heard an actual carol in a store. Not, you know, pop Santa Claus stuff, an actual carol. I believe it was Midnight Clear. It came upon a Midnight Clear in a store. And I thought, is that legal in Canada?
Wow.
Really?
Was it, I came upon a Midnight Clear, blah, 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 Jesus?
Look.
Yeah, you know it was.
All of you are Protestants. I am a Catholic. My Bible is different. That's how it reads, okay?
It can't be that different because I don't think there's a Latin word that means blah.
Hail Mary, full of grace, yada, 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 womb, Jesus. Okay? It's different.
Now, see, you're right, because in the Protestant Bible, it's a little more exultant. It's Hail Mary, full of grace, yada, 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 boom, Jesus.
Well, that's because you guys are more focused on Jesus than Mary. See, Kim and I had this whole conversation last week. We had this whole big argument over Mary and hats. Okay? Because we have hats in our religion, and y'all don't.
So. I just said they have middlemen, so.
We do have hats.
You leave your hat at church. That's not what I meant, Jimmy.
No, that's what the whole Easter bonnet song is about. It's about hats.
No, but we have, in order of importance, your hats get more ostentatious in our church. Like, we go from, like, the average priest that doesn't wear a hat all the way up to the Pope, who wears some type of duffel bag
hat
on his head.
Where's the big hat?
Yeah,
he's got a 10-gallon hat.
Hat of awesomeness. So, you know, we've got the. But okay, that's a whole different tradition. That's a church tradition. Dwayne, is there anything, like, I mean, you said that you're creating traditions. Is there anything specific you want to share with the kids in the class in terms of, you know, what your family is doing from year to year that you're hoping one day your kids will carry over to your grandkids?
Well, when I was a kid, we never had stockings, believe it or not. So
really?
We didn't
Fascist.
Do stockings. Yeah. Well, they're Democrats,
wow.
So.
I don't trust your parents. I'm sorry. I'm sure they're good people, but I don't trust them.
They're good people. And that's the thing about it. They're Democrats, but they're conservatives, and they just don't know that the party's left them. But that's a conversation for another time.
Blue dogs.
Yeah, we do. And that seems so mainstream to some people, but we never had stockings. So the whole stocking thing is new to me. And my kids love the going and getting the tree. That's something that I've let slide the past couple of years. But it's just the more the being together that I don't know. My Christmases when I grew up were great, but they weren't. You know, there's nothing that I could think back fondly of and say, yeah, I remember when we used to do that. Hopefully with my kids, the stockings and the tree and that sort. And soon to be the tangerines or the oranges will be something they remember.
Woohoo! Right. That's so good. That's so awesome that you picked that to do. And, now, does anybody besides us go to Christmas Eve service? Do you guys go to Christmas Eve?
I have from time to time. Actually, the nicest Christmas Eve service I ever went to was 5 years ago. My ex-husband and I took our anniversary was also around Christmas. As a matter of fact, it is. It would have been today, the 21st, and so Christmas and our anniversary was always celebrated kind of together. So our 5th anniversary, we decided let's take a trip down to the Dominican Republic. Now, my ex-husband was raised without faith because his grandmother, or his mother's side of the family, was Catholic. His father's side was Protestant. There was a lot of fighting. Scotland's very different from us. We've kind of gotten over it over here. Over there, they haven't. So there was a lot of fighting when he was growing up. So he was raised completely without faith, whereas I was raised semi-Catholic. We paid some attention to it, but not a whole heck of a lot. But when we were down at the resort, we met some other couples, and they were heading into the town for Christmas Eve midnight mass. So we ended up joining. We all rented a minibus, and we went into the town, and the town was just, I mean, there were lights strung up, and there were fireworks, and there was a party in the town square. Very different from the kind of repressed French Catholic upbringing I had. You know, here it's you know, drinking in public and fireworks and partying in the public square, and everybody lives in a shanty. It was probably a heck of a lot more like Jerusalem back around the birth of Christ than what I'm accustomed to from Montreal, you know, with my big cathedrals and whatever. So we went into this little shanty church, and the priest came over, and he was talking to us, and we were kind of talking back to him in pidgin Spanish. And as a gift to this Canadian contingent, he had the deacon of the church repeat the mass in English for us, which I thought was a really nice touch. So we had the priest actually holding the mass in Spanish, and then the deacon, as soon as the priest was done and just before he gave the Holy Communion, repeated the whole mass in English because he spoke perfect English. So that was a really nice touch for us that night. And, you know, to be part of this totally different culture. But for me, the one thing about being a Catholic is I can go into any church anywhere in any language, anywhere in the world, and it is the exact same service. It's the McDonald's of religion. And so
the same every year?
It's exactly the same. I mean, with the exception of, you know, the message that he delivers might be a little bit personal. It's always going to be the same readings and that sort of thing. And it's always going to be the same calisthenics that we have to do, you know, sit, stand, kneel, raise, set, stand. I mean, you get a workout.
That's just so foreign to me.
I know, okay. but for us, it's very touching because that means no matter what language we're listening to, we know what he's saying and we can follow along. We know when he's preaching the Our Father, so we can add it in English because we know that that's when he's speaking it. So
okay.
That makes sense. Comforting to that. So even though I was in a foreign country surrounded by people in, you know, skirts and tank tops, which was a little bit strange to me because good heavens, we would never dress like that for church. It was very touching to be included in all of this and to know what was going on. I was there with an Anglican family, as a matter of fact, a Canadian Anglican family, and they kept asking me, okay, so what do we do now? And basically, I was their leader because I understood what was
going on. Oh, those poor guys.
Yeah, go figure, right? Road to hell, kids. Road to hell.
Asking the lady who says blah, 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 Jesus, what she's supposed to do next.
But I knew when he said that in Spanish. Blah, 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 Jesus is just blah, 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 Jesus. It's very simple to follow. You get a guidebook to being a Catholic and it never changes. Hasn't changed in 2,000 years. It's not going to change tomorrow. But that was probably like my favorite midnight mass trip. We had other traditions. My family being a bit strange, there's kind of like the pre-mom and the post-mom era. I had a mother till I was 14 and then I didn't, you know, and then it was just me and dad. But I remember more the times with myself and my dad where we would celebrate on Christmas Eve instead of Christmas Day, which is the French way of doing things. That's the European way of doing things. We celebrate on Christmas Eve instead of the 25th. And so we would eat like pigs. We would drink like pigs and watch. His favorite was the Alistair Sim version of A Christmas Carol. And so that was always a tradition with us. And then we would, you know, we would open our presents after midnight and then we would sleep in half the day. And of course, you know, without having a mom in the house, we usually had Jewish Christmas. We'd go to a deli or Chinese restaurant and then to a movie. But that was Christmas in our house.
Rah, 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 rah.
Jesus.
I was thinking the same thing, Jimmy.
I'm seeing the last scene of A Christmas Story.
Yep, they had the big duck, and then they would say, yeah, but he's smiling at me, and the guy would chop his head off. And
exactly.
Nice.
It was a little like that. But I mean, when my mom was alive, it was different because she was close to all of her sisters, all 16 of them, and her brothers for them. So the houses were a bit more packed for Christmas dinner when she was alive. But, you know, the minute her body was cold, they pretty much were done with myself and my dad. So yeah, we would do a proper French Canadian Christmas Eve, which was, you know, the eating, the drinking, the feasting, the celebrating, and occasionally the midnight mass. But then we would do Jewish Christmas on the 25th. So I was really taking in a lot of different cultures for Christmas. And, you know, some of them did tell me, rah, 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 Jesus. So, you know, I do remember who's involved in Christmas, hence the name Christ Mass. But yeah. That was Christmas in my world. I kind of like Kimberly's idea of the horseback riding and stuff like that, whether it was snowing or dry or green or white. For us, it was the one thing if I ever have children, it's unlikely at this point, but I can actually hand down to them Christmas ornaments that my grandmother had during World War II. They were passed down to my father. Well, my mother was the keeper of Christmas. So my paternal grandmother gave them to her, and I have them now. So if I do ever have children, I have World War II era blown glass Christmas ornaments. And by God, I will keep them. If I have to be buried with them, I will. But I will keep those. Oh. So I'm very lucky in that respect. Is there a particular thing that each of you put on your tree? Something you made as a kid, something your kids made, or just a specific?
My kids. Yeah, all my kids' ornaments. I still, you know, of course, the ones that they made that, you know, weren't made of construction paper as they got a little older, you know, like the little ceramic Santa Claus that Matt made when he was 10. And, you know, the little, I've got a little sand dollar that Tiffany made with a, you know, did with a green ribbon and put her name on the back of, I think when she was 5, you know, that now, kind of stuff. Yeah. All those are on the tree.
Did they reach the age where they wanted you, they still had to have them on the tree, but they wanted you to hide them in the back because they didn't want to look at them anymore?
No.
No, really?
Nope.
Oh, you nope. raised
they, nice they, well. They go directly to the tree and they find their ornaments and they know which ones they made. Each one of them, Matt's 28, Tiff's 23. They go straight to that tree and there's little snowmen that are little carved snowmen, little tiny ones with their names on them.
Nice.
That they seek those out. They're really, really cute. They're real small ornaments, maybe about 2 inches tall. And they're like hand carved. And they find those first thing.
And yep, Dwayne,
those are on there.
You've got 6 kids in the house. I mean, okay, one of them's an infant, but do they make decorations for your tree?
Yeah, we usually do for, like, construction paper stuff, and it isn't something that carries on for year to year. But we definitely have some very artsy kids who like making their own decorations.
And Jimmy, I see your house is having at least one Jingle Cat or Star Trek ornament on the tree. Am I off base?
I used to have a Star Trek ornament. I don't know where it is now. The prized ornaments on my tree thus far are a Washington Redskins Christmas ornament, because I still remain a Redskins fan. A couple little toy French horns that I picked up about 10 years ago that I just love. And a little Christmas village that I painstakingly put together about the same time that I bought the individual little ceramic things at the dollar store one at a time over a couple years.
Like the little Dickens village type thing that you have underneath the tree or the ones you hang on?
No, these are ones that go underneath the tree.
Nice.
It took me a couple years to put that together. And the other one was, this is really, really going to sound horrible. An angel tree topper that I made myself. I was bored at work one day and realized I didn't have one and didn't have time to go out and buy one. So I sat down and made one out of an old memo. the cardboard innards, the cardboard tube that comes inside a roll of fax paper. I traced an outline of an angel and I cut it out. I cut out 2 of them. Then I actually used glue. I glued them together and I glued them around the cardboard tube so you can't see the cardboard tube. And then I took a Sharpie marker and a yellow highlighter and kind of drew the angel. And
have an office angel, Jim. And that's what Kim needs because she works from home. She needs
an
office angel.
That's my tree topper. And since I have a really small tree, all the angel tree toppers are so big and heavy, they don't fit on my tree. So I haven't found a good one to replace it with, so I haven't yet.
Merry Christmas. Don't forget the cover letter on the TPS reports. Blah, 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 Jesus.
Blah, 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 stapler.
I love it. I'm never going to live this down, am I? Like,
no,
ever.
No, you're not.
Blah, 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 Jesus in my house. You
after
know, normally
Christmas.
I read from the Book of Lamb when I have people over for Christmas. Christopher Moore's Lamb, the Gospel According to Biff, Christ's Childhood Pal.
Does the Gospel of Lamb have the section that goes, ba, 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 Jesus?
You're close. it's supposed to be. I don't know if any of you have read this book, and if you haven't, I'm disowning all of you, but it's he's the author guy at the author guy on Twitter, but his name is Christopher Moore. He's written all these crazy books like Bloodsucking Fiends, A Love Story, and you know, he's just a comedy writer and a satire writer, and he decided one day to tackle one of the largest subjects, the years between 12 and 30, when we don't hear about Jesus. So he thought that he would send Jesus on a quest with his best friend. And the idea is his best friend, Biff, Levi, who is called Biff, is brought back by one of the angels to write the gospel of Biff to fill in those missing places. And he's supposed to tell the story about how they, you know, they set off to find the 3 wise men so that Jesus could find the divine spark, which he eventually ended up renaming the Holy Spirit because John thought it had a better ring to it, that sort of thing. So I usually read from the book of Biff at my Christmas parties. But at no time do I recall him going, blah, 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 Jesus. Maybe I just made that up. It's possible. Never know with me.
Okay.
But, you know, we all have our little traditions and stuff like that. But I don't want to leave our chosen friends out. Hanukkah started yesterday at sundown on the 20th. And I thought you know, we would take a moment to we have a lot of friends on Twitter and friends in real life who are Jews. And to remind them that the U.S. president loves Hanukkah so much that he lights all the candles at once. And I think that's a beautiful thing. Isn't that a beautiful thing?
Did he light him, or did his awesomeness cause the candles to spontaneously combust?
Well, it depends on whether or not you read the White House press release.
Well, but the picture has him standing behind the menorah and all the candles are lit. And even better, this happened at the White House's little Hanukkah celebration that they held on December 11th.
Yeah, 2 weeks before Hanukkah.
Well, clearly he thought that they should change it for him. Not that Obama was early. It's that the Jews were late.
It's a 6,000-year-old religion. Obviously, it's time to update it to make it more convenient for the new Messiah. Our Messiah gave us bacon. It only makes sense that the new Messiah move Hanukkah.
Speaking of bacon, I just went in the kitchen a little bit ago, and for my 40th birthday, I saw a griddle full of bacon.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, your wife is a saint.
She really is.
You're a lucky
She
dude.
Loves me.
She really is. Jimmy.
Bacon on your birthday with Southern Comfort. Dwayne.
Exactly.
I am a fan, dude.
Dwayne
I'm
is having the best birthday of all time. Jimmy, I forgot to mention your tree topper. Have you guys ever seen the movie Dogma?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. No. I have Buddy Jesus as my tree topper. I have Buddy Christ as my tree topper, and that's kind of a tradition as well. That's something my ex-husband started and I've carried on, so I'm going to keep that one for all time. But we do have to wrap up the show, and I want each of us to have the opportunity to wish our listeners a Merry Christmas. So Jimmy, send a message. Tell us, preach Christmas to us. Give us your own spin on blah, 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 Jesus.
Look, from the way I see it, Christmas is real simple. And Christmas has two rules, just like the rules of social media. Be useful to people you love and even people you don't love. And don't be a jerk.
Kim?
Amen. That's Christmas.
I'll just say this. Spend the time that you have at Christmas with your family, those closest to you. And if you don't have family close, spend it with your friends that you love like family. And just, you know, enjoy the time that you spend together. Whether you have a cocktail, and please don't drink and drive, just, you know, be good to your family. Be good to your friends that you love like family. Wendy, I'm talking to you. And God bless you all.
Dwayne?
I will say this. Let's spend a little less time with our eyes glazed as we watch the flat screen television and a little more time engaged in conversations with those who may or may not be here next year, because every second you have is a gift and our lives are finite. You don't know who'll be around next Christmas.
Wow. You're making me weepy. And from myself, I just want to tell people, don't be afraid to say Merry Christmas. If you're not sure of the person you're greeting, go ahead and say it anyway. What's the worst they're going to do? Go, oh, thanks. That's okay. So don't be afraid to say Merry Christmas. Share with your neighbors who might have a little bit less than you. And blah, 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 Jesus. From all of us here at Take That Media, all the best for a fabulous 2012.
Grandma got run over by a reindeer. Walking home from our house Christmas Eve. You can say there's no such thing as Santa, but as for me and Grandpa, we believe. She'd been drinking too much eggnog, and we begged her not to go. but she forgot her medication, and she staggered out the door into the snow. When we found her Christmas morning at the scene of the attack, she had hoof prints on her forehead and incriminating claws marks on her back. Grandma got run over by a reindeer walking home from our house Christmas Eve. You can say there's no such thing as Santa, but as for me and Grandpa, we believe. Now we're all so proud of Grandpa. He's been taking this so well. See him in there watching football, drinking beer and playing cards with Cousin Mel. It's not Christmas without Grandma. All the family's dressed in black, and we just can't help but wonder, should we open up her gifts or send them back?
Send them back!
Grandma got run over by a reindeer walking home from our house Christmas Eve. You can say there's no such thing as Santa, but as for me and Grandpa, we believe. Now the goose is on the table and the pudding made of fig. Ah, and the blue and silver candles that would just have matched the hair in Grandma's wig. I've warned all my friends and neighbors, better watch out for yourselves. They should never give a license to a man who drives a sleigh and plays with elves. Grandma got run over by a reindeer walking home from our house Christmas Eve. Now you can say there's no such thing as Santa, but as for me and Grandpa, we believe.
Sing it, Grandpa.
Grandma got run over by a reindeer walking home from our house Christmas Eve. You can say there's no such thing as Santa, but as for me and Grandpa, we believe.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas from everyone at Take That Media. Thanks for hanging out with the Take That Gang here on the Right This Way Show. All wardrobes provided by DIY Industries. All weaponry is optional. The opinions expressed on this show most definitely reflect the views of this station and its management. Join us next week when we'll probably piss somebody else off. Hey, it's what we do. This has been a production of TakeThatRadio.com. Thanks for listening.